Welcome back. You're tuned in to Awaaz FM Community Radio, broadcasting to you on DAB Digital across South Hampshire and across the world on awaazfm.co.uk. Now, not so long ago, we had a financial crisis, almost you could say, called the Paradise Papers. And shortly after that, we had quite a lot of hoorah going on across the country about where's Britain's money come from, where's it going. Somebody who's knows a lot more about this than I do is my two special guests here today in the studio, and we're going to talk to them a little bit about a new film that's called The Spider's Web, and it's going to be shown on next Wednesday at the Spark Theatre in Solent University. And it's free. It's free for everybody to see. But what's it all about? We need to know a bit more. To tell us a bit more about this, we've got in the studio here Phil Tyler, who's the coordinator, and Charlie Evans from Positive Money Southampton. Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
Okay, how are you guys?
Very well. Thank you very much for having us.
You're looking like really panicking here. So is it the money?
It might be the radio. Okay. But actually what I would like to do, if I can sneak it in, is a little hello to some friends of mine from the Southampton Sufi community.
Okay.
These are my wonderful neighbours, the Kazmis. That's Rashid Kazmi and all of his family.
Okay, Rashid, assalamu alaikum, welcome. If you would like to take a little questions and with our guest today, the studio number, as always, 023-8022-7977. I've said it so many times, I almost forgot it. Right, Phil, tell us about this screening.
Oh, yes, well, Positive Money is a local group, and we have regular meetings once a month. Mm-hmm. And we have various things on, and we were going to, and Charlie, who's one of our members, heard about this film and said it would be a really good thing if we have it on. And we thought people who go all over the world and see their schedule. Mm-hmm. And we thought how nice they'll be to have it on. Mm-hmm. We didn't have a particularly smart place, but they said they'd come and do it, and we were just amazed.
Okay.
But since we've been able to, the Solent University and various people have been very helpful to us, and so now we can show it in a really nice theatre in Solent University. And Charlie is sort of the person who set it all up. So,
okay, Charlie, what brought it on?
Well, I guess,
I mean, the words that we've been given, I'm just reading out, an investigation into the world of Britain's secrecy jurisdiction and the City of London.
Yes. Okay, I suppose
that's a mouthful.
It is. To simplify it, my interest comes from the observation, my suspicion that that the financial system isn't working for ordinary people. Mm-hmm. You see inequality growing across the world. Mm-hmm. Wealth is becoming concentrated in fewer hands. But of course, you want to know why, how this is.
Absolutely.
And so when this film came out, of course I was very interested. The full title of the film is The Spider's Web: Britain's Second Empire.
Okay.
And it tells the story of Britain's transformation from a colonial power, mm-hmm, into a financial power.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Britain, with its dependencies like Jersey and the Bahamas, mm-hmm, is by far the largest global player in the world of financial secrecy, mm-hmm, it turns out.
Mm-hmm.
And this documentary explores how Britain came to hold this position and what impact this has had on all of us in Britain and all around the world.
Okay, so half of the global wealth is held offshore, in especially the British offshore islands. Does it sort of tell you about why?
It does. Okay, so in the days of empire, mm-hmm, Britain was relatively easily able to transfer wealth, mineral wealth, commodity wealth from its imperial possessions back to Britain.
Okay.
This film, The Spider's Web, spells out how Britain's tax haven empire is a modern version of this wealth extraction.
So from global empire to financial empire.
Exactly.
Okay. How did it all start?
Well, it appears that in the 1950s, as Britain declined, mm-hmm. Within the City of London,
yeah.
which is almost like a country within a country in our capital,
uh-huh.
the Bank of England actually allowed financiers to start building unregulated financial markets.
Okay.
These have a very strange name. They're known as the Eurodollar markets.
Okay.
What it means is that bankers from all over the world can put their dollars into British banks, but they don't have to observe the rules they do in their own countries. It's a way for bankers to escape the normal regulation.
So, are you saying Britain is not as poor as what it says it is?
Yes, I understand what you're saying.
Have I been watching too many movies?
No. You're right. When politicians want to cut budgets to uh-huh. to hospitals and schools, mm-hmm. benefits, the police, uh-huh. they always tell us there's not enough money, but there are huge amounts of money, but they're in private hands.
And we have no control over them, even though they're in our countries?
Well,
or we have control, but we choose not to have control?
Those are very good questions. I think that the people who have control of the money don't want us to have control.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the interesting question then is what we can do about it. And one thing that I'm very happy about with this screening
mm-hmm.
is that the producer mm-hmm. Will be with us to take questions and answers.
Okay.
Now, this is good because, I'll be honest, the picture painted by this film is quite bleak.
Right.
It's much darker.
It sounds pretty bleak.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so my personal request, demand from them, is that in the question and answers, they'll focus on what we can all do about the problems. So right now, on the radio, I can't tell you that much,
mm-hmm.
But please come and you'll learn much more.
Of course. You mentioned it's the City of London who done this. We're talking about the Square Mile. The centre mm-hmm. City of London. How did the City of London manage to do this? How has it managed to get away with it for so long?
Well, I guess what happened is that in imperial times, of course, Britain had control of territories all around the world
mm-hmm.
and a lot of experience at running trading operations and military operations all around the world.
Mm-hmm.
But as the sort of hard power, the military power retreated
uh-huh.
as territories gained independence.
Yeah.
Then they used that expertise to find loopholes and tricks, basically, to essentially continue the colonial practices.
Okay, Phil, yeah. You're doing positive money. What's the role of positive money in this?
Well, positive money is a national, international movement, in fact, but it started in England. And there's lots of sort of outcomes that we want to have,
mm-hmm.
but basically it's about money creation, and it does relate quite a lot to this film, because we want people to understand about what money is.
Yeah.
Because money is something, it's just a token that's made. People say it's debt, it's all kind of, it's worth, but it's worth money because people believe in it. It's only because people believe in it. And there isn't a shortage of money because it can just be made.
Mm-hmm.
The Bank of England can just make as much money as it likes.
Yeah.
You have to be careful how you use it. But most of the money in our economy, there's an awful lot of debt. And the reason there's an awful lot of debt is because almost all the money, you can argue with it a few percentage, but around about 97% of the money that's circulating in the economy is produced by banks when they make loans. Now, people think that when you put a loan, when you save some money into a bank or deposit, all this money goes into a bank, that that money is spent by the bank in giving loans.
Right.
And that's kind of what we think, how we think it ought to work. Mm-hmm. But actually, what really happens, and there's plenty of ways this can be proved, is that the banks, when they make a loan, they in their computer they put a figure in that account, that person's account, mm-hmm. and that money is created then, there. They just make money out of nothing and then lend it to people and charge them interest on it. And that's means that over time, more and more of the money, since electronic money came about, has been taken over by the banks, and now all the money in the country, and that means that all that money, somebody's paying the money you've got mm-hmm. in your bank account, somebody else has loaned or borrowed and is paying interest on it. So all the we're renting our money, the money we're using that should be just for trading, we're paying the banks, and obviously the money goes to rich people and who control all these things. And obviously the Bank of England and people don't want people to realise this mm-hmm. because
of course.
They like keeping their secrecy and keeping everything quiet. So we feel our job is to let people know these things and that money can be created.
Okay, what positive money, does it show you how to take control of your money?
It's not aimed at individuals,
right?
It's aimed at changing the whole system.
Okay.
At the moment, as I say, the banks can create their own money. Our main.
So I suppose, in a way, you're showing us how it's made by other organisations.
That's kind of it. Yes. At the moment, we're all in debt, yeah. And. Because when you're in debt, some of that money gets taken out of your... Because there's interest.
Yeah.
Some of that money is being taken... So in the economy, some of the money is being drained out to rich people all the time. And so we're all in this, what we call the real economy, where we all work and live.
Yeah.
There's less and less money. In the investment economy, in the financial economy, mm-hmm. assets are growing, all mm-hmm. those people... And the Bank of England even... what they call quantitative easing, they create money and put it into those markets, and none of that comes down to us. And we have our main thing at the moment to tell people about how money is created, to give them the idea. It's called QE for people. So instead of quantitative easing for the financial sector, it should be quantitative easing for us.
Right, yeah.
That money could be used in the economy in various ways, to help us to start businesses and all that sort of thing.
Okay, Charlie, that's a lot of technical words like quantitative easing, and
yes,
not everybody understands that.
No.
Do you have an understanding of that as much as me?
Okay, quantitative easing is a very long word. Maybe they chose the longest word possible to put people off, because it's not many people know about it and not many people understand it.
Mm-hmm.
But generally, to explain it as simply as I'm able, okay, after the financial crash, the Bank of England and other central banks around the world all started to create money in an attempt to stimulate the economy. Mm-hmm. Except that money, as Phil was saying, didn't go into the real economy that you and I would recognize of normal people, jobs, hospitals, roads, that kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
The money effectively was created out of thin air and put into the financial sector. They say the idea was that this way banks would start lending again, the financial sector would be more positive, more active, and that money would filter out into the real economy. But unfortunately, it has pretty much stayed almost entirely in the financial sector. Positive Money, which is a research group as well as a campaigning group,
uh-huh.
calculate that out of every pound of new money created,
mm-hmm.
only 8 pence came out into the real economy. we haven't mentioned yet, actually, the sums involved are astronomical. Since the financial crash, £435 billion.
£435 billion, 1,000 million pounds.
Wow. Has been created and essentially handed over to the financial sector.
Last year, they created £70 billion and put it into the financial markets and to support banks. And they say the idea is...
But we've had a lot of banks collapse over, you know, since the last stock market crash.
Not enough banks. They've been meant to crash. Well, arguably, it would have been much better if a lot of these rotten institutions had actually collapsed. I believe, is it in Iceland they allowed, Phil?
That's true, they did
allow the banks to collapse.
Okay.
And they actually jailed financiers and politicians who were involved. While here, we just prop them up and allow them to essentially continue their...
You mentioned a very nice word, rotten banks.
Yes.
Define rotten banks.
Well, the thing is, they don't have... we have assets. You imagine houses are worth a certain amount of money and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what they were doing before the crash, and it's still happening because they haven't stopped it, they don't want to stop it really, is that they get something like a house, and then the people who has that loan, that lends the money, they sell that loan on to other people, and it gets sold several times and used and put into packages. Then the person on the street invests in it, and then, but part of that money may be something dodgy that you don't know, and it's all mixed up together in financial things, and so they're crooks, and they have this privilege of being able to create money out of nothing and lend it to people, and that really this has so many bad effects. Because one of the reasons you have the crash is because as the bank controls all the money in the economy, pretty much, it all comes from banks. Then, if they get a bit worried about lending to people, and people get a bit worried about borrowing, the amount of money in the economy goes down because when they pay the money back, when people pay the money back, as it's created, when they give it to people, when people pay the money back, it disappears. It's a bit mind-blowing thought. But the thing is, so if people stop having loans and they stop giving loans, well, it slows down. It's only got to slow down a bit and the money disappears from the economy. And you have a crash because there's no money about. So the banks cause the crash.
So we're trying to move money that's technically not there.
Yeah, well, that's quite true, yes. That's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Okay. You're right, this is mind-blowing.
It is mind-blowing. Once you realise it, I think you get positive money. People are very keen because it's kind of... Yeah, I've been all my life and not known any of this.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not available as information. So you kind of...
I mean, this
you
is,
just want to tell people.
It's strange. Yeah. I mean, Chris, Phil... This is pretty strange because we're supposed to have regulation and transparency on all of this, but why is that not working, or is it not meant to be working?
Well, I think it's part of it, but there's a number of aspects to that, and one is the whole way the whole economy's looked at, because there is this system, people may have heard of neoliberalism.
Okay.
And the way the government thinks about money and the accountants work, the system they use for accounting is a system that is like a machine, and they don't really think of people as anything other than machines, whereas the economy is actually a whole lot of people. You know, we're the economy, but we're not really thought of in this process, the way they think of it. And so, when the Bank of England, at the moment, they created £70 billion. The Bank of England belongs to us, by the way. Bank of England is ours.
Yeah.
They created £70 billion, which is our money.
Uh-huh.
And they basically gave it to rich people, I mean, and just prop up the banks and gave it to rich people. And at the moment, they're wondering what to do. They've put up interest rates a little bit. They're, you know, the interest rates don't really seem to work to help anything, changing interest rates. They've tried quantitative easing, and they're trying to think, what can they do? And, you know, the idea of giving it to people in the economy is just, they can't even imagine it because of the way they're taught to think about the economy. It's a kind of a straitjacket of thinking. And so we're trying to get them to think about, well, you know, actually, you, it's kind of, it's incredible intellectual problem
it requires a lot of deep thinking. The government's meant to be working for us, not against us.
Well,
we would like to hope that that's the case. This has a lot of impact worldwide as well. So what sort of impact does it have?
What sort of impact? Well, okay, so in terms of tax evasion, tax havens, secrecy jurisdictions, to be honest, they provide the means for the resources of many African countries, many Latin American countries, and others. The resources from resource-rich countries to be siphoned off and not properly used for the benefit of the people of those countries. It's estimated that that the international aid, which comes from so-called rich countries, is nothing compared to the kind of money which is flowing out of Africa, Latin America, among others, via tax havens. Tax havens allow the whole trail to be covered, to be kept secret, and literally, it's at a scale which is actually inhibiting the development of countries. I mean, it's unbelievably antisocial.
And I suppose that's where the corruption comes in. But it's, you can see the corruption more in the poorer countries. How come we can't see it here?
That's a very good question. It's
really good question.
Yes, you could. We're accustomed.
A very good question.
Yeah.
A good answer.
Oh, we'll see what we can do. We're accustomed to saying that many African leaders, for example, are corrupt, and we talk about capital flight. That means when they take money from their country and they take it away abroad.
Yeah.
Now that is very convenient for you know, people like the British, because that's just saying that it's those corrupt third world people who are the problem. While in fact, Britain, via its tax havens, is the world's largest provider of the secret facilities that allow these things to be siphoned off. So, actually, Britain is completely complicit.
Many of our MPs, for example, would say we have no idea of this.
Well,
that's true. There was possibly when they have just done a survey, and I can't remember the exact figure, and they asked the MPs if they knew how money was created, and that banks could create money, which has been. The Bank of England has done reports to explain it. They've been had to been forced to do so, and I think it was, I can't remember, it was only 15% or something of the MPs actually knew that it's kind of, because the whole system is taught, it's like in colleges, and the people who are put in to run the colleges and the politicians and the people they want to advise them all have the same education, and it's kind of a circular thing, so it reinforces, so they think they're all doing the right thing, but they actually, they're in the dark kind of thing like everybody else is.
So you're,
it's kind of amazing,
doing their work for them and without actually knowing that you're doing their work.
In terms of if their work is exposing these problems, then I guess so.
Okay.
What I did say though, they're in the dark. They're either in the dark, or their hands and feet are very into making lots of money and hiding it away and people not knowing. So they're either rich people who are trying to make sure they stay rich, and or they're in the dark.
I read somewhere that 1% of the world's richest 1% of the world's richest people control 95% of the world's economy, or something around that.
It's a half. Well, the 1% have more than half the world's.
Yeah,
wealth.
Something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
which is part of this system that we're trying to think, look at, you see.
Okay, so spider's web is going to expose all of this, supposedly.
It's certainly going to open up the picture. While the media coverage of the Paradise Papers has been very interesting, however, I found that generally speaking, it focuses on individual scandals. You know, this sports star, this TV personality, this musician who have hidden their wealth away. But those things are important because let's remember, all of those people expect us normal people to pay for public services,
of course,
which we all need, and they consider that they don't need to. So those individual scandals are important. However, for me, the real important news is to learn about the system behind it, and that is what you can get via the spider's web, which you won't get in such a thorough fashion on television or radio.
So it begs the question, how did you get to know about it? Were you inside?
Inside? Sadly not. No, I'm afraid not. Although, the producer of the film, who will be present next Wednesday at the Solent University at the screening to take question and answers, he was inside. Now, yes.
Okay.
This is why it's such an interesting film. So he actually was born on Jersey, which is one of the British tax havens, and he saw Jersey transform into a financial centre in his teenage years.
Okay.
Now, in the 1970s, he was working with Oxfam, and as I mentioned earlier, they noticed how money was leaving resource-rich countries and disappearing into the West via these tax havens, but they didn't really understand how. So he studied as a forensic investigator. So that's a discipline of economics, and specialized in tax havens. And then after that, he went to Jersey and got a job with as an insider with, I think it was Deloitte, which is one of the world's most respected accountancy firms. He worked there for 13 years, and he was even appointed a financial advisor to the whole country. And so they must be a little upset that now he is turning that inside knowledge into a very serious campaign for change.
Why would he want to do that? I mean, he's in a position where he could make a lot of money for himself, for example.
I guess he has a sense of humanity, a sense of justice.
Okay, a moral standing. Good.
Yeah.
Okay. So, he's going to be there, and there's going to be a Q&A session afterwards.
That's correct.
Yeah. How long is the movie?
The movie is, I think it's 80 minutes?
I can't remember, yeah.
About 80 minutes, yes.
About 80 minutes.
And we have just under an hour for questions and answers.
Okay. What sort of people are you looking to go there?
Well,
anybody, really.
Absolutely.
Gosh, yes. Everybody. More people realise.
And what would we get out of it? I mean, you're going to expose what's happening. But what benefit will it bring to us?
Well, I think we can get people. Well, the positive money, because we're interested in part of this is to get people to come and learn about positive money.
Yeah.
So I think that one of the things we want is to get people to come to our group sessions, which are on the last Wednesday of the month, except for December, which is going to be the 19th. And otherwise, it's the last Wednesday of the month in Metrics Guildhall.
Okay.
And so we talk about all different things and have different subjects, because the economy isn't just a narrow thing like government people think. It is actually a wide thing that includes everything in everybody's lives. So one of the things we want is for people to help us, and the other thing is that to get people to sign up. if you'll give us their email address, that goes to the central in the office in London.
Okay.
And there's about 50,000 people have signed up. And when the people from Positive Money go to talk to government ministers and people like that, they have some, well, whoever it is, yes, they have some leverage because there's such a big it's a ground-up movement.
Well, that's
what we want. We want people to realise that this thing can be changed and it can be completely different and much better for everybody.
That's interesting because how can we be have some leverage if they are that strong?
I guess this, if anything is going to change, it's going to come from civil society. And certainly with respect to this problem of tax havens and secrecy jurisdictions, those, by the way, are essentially, you can swap those terms.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, if you just, most people talk about tax havens, but the other side of the coin is the secrecy.
Mm-hmm.
And essentially, the secrecy allows people to escape the normal rules which you would expect society to go by.
Yeah.
And essentially, it means that whether you're a criminal, a money launderer, or a corporation, or an individual trying to escape tax, you can go to the same place, you use the same facilities. It's all a dark and very shady mix. But anyway, you asked how we're going to change it. If anything's going to change, it's going to be as a result of civil society, and the movements are just beginning to become more organized and more serious with groups such as Positive Money and a group called the Tax Justice Network. We have, well, hopefully these leaks, the Paradise Papers, most recently the Panama Papers, which was just 1 year ago.
Yeah,
hopefully they'll continue. Hopefully someone has an eye on this, and these leaks will take away some of that secrecy, and it will make it possible to see the real situation and for us to address it.
Of course, it doesn't just affect the UK; it's also every other country in the world where these happen. And often we hear like corrupt leaders putting their money in Swiss banks. Why do we not hear that they're putting their money in the city of London?
I guess the Swiss have the
what do you know that I don't know?
Okay.
They're just known for it, aren't they? Really?
Yes, the Swiss have the longest tradition of banking secrecy.
There's one there as well?
In Switzerland.
Oh, okay.
Yes, the Swiss the way they do it is you open a bank account in Switzerland.
Mm-hmm.
And the banker knows who you are,
mm-hmm.
but he promises not to tell anyone. That's the Swiss model. While the British model is quite peculiar. We have this thing called these structures called trusts,
mm-hmm.
which apparently apparently the myth goes that the trusts started during the Crusades.
Okay.
When so you had your wealthy nobles going off to cause trouble,
mm-hmm.
and they needed someone to look after their money while they were away, and so they set up these things called trusts. The person looking after their wealth was mm-hmm. the trustee,
mm-hmm.
and this in Britain, this is developed into, it's taken on a life of its own. So let's say you're a wealthy scoundrel in Britain or anywhere around the world actually, and you want to hide your money from the tax authorities. You pretend you give your money away. You give legally your money away to a trust, and you don't own it anymore. The trust owns it.
Right.
And my goodness, these things are very complicated. And as I say, I'm not an expert. This is new to me.
Okay.
But what it means is that it's very hard to track down the owners.
Mm-hmm.
With the British trust system, you can have layer upon layer of veils, of layers of hidden structures.
You can call them veils, actually. Veil is a thing, yeah.
And the result is it's very hard to know what's going on in these jurisdictions, and that's why these leaks are so important, and that's why this insider's knowledge is so valuable. Hmm. In fact, in Britain, corruption is hidden behind all of these veils, financial corruption.
Okay, but when do you get something like the International Corruption Index or something like that? We're never near the top.
Okay, that's interesting. That is the International Corruption Index. I can't comment on specifically, but I know that the Tax Justice Network has produced a similar mm-hmm. a similar index, mm-hmm. And actually Britain features quite high up the list. But if you add in all of the British territories, the British Virgin Islands, Gibraltar, the Isle of Man, etc., Britain is actually at the very top of the list. And this is one of the things that's useful to the City of London. Mm-hmm. They can pretend that Jersey, the Bahamas, are all independent, and they have they're nothing to do with us. If they do something wrong, well, that's their fault. Uh-huh. But actually, this is not entirely true. You'll find, in Jersey, there are pound notes circulating with the Queen's head on.
Right, yes.
The Westminster is actually in charge and can actually dictate what happens there, but they prefer not to, because that means they can send their dirty business to places like Jersey.
Okay. It's highly interesting, highly mind-boggling.
I would say the positive money has a sort of meetings and people discuss things, but the actual the campaign mm-hmm. is sort of fairly focused on the fact that the Bank of England can create money out of nothing just mm-hmm. by putting a figure in a computer,
yeah.
And the banks do that, and the banks are putting the money all in the wrong places, because they put it all in exciting. They can put the money anywhere in the world, as we've just been hearing.
Yes.
And so they don't need to putting it into a business, a local business, that needs money is not very interesting for banks. So they tend to, the amount of money that's being created and going into small local businesses has gone down nearly every year. It's now under 10% of the money. And when you think they create 65% of the employment, it should be. And that's investment and innovation is what creates the wealth that you can create the money for. What's what creates the efficiency and so on in the business. And the thing is that unless you get that investment in there, not only are we getting poorer and poorer because money's being drained out of the economy, we're getting poorer and poorer because our businesses are not becoming more and more efficient because they're not getting the investment. And then when they get it, the costs of property and everything, which is again the same sort of usury as money and everything else, the money gets taken away if they make any. So it's kind of very difficult for us to get any wealth going in our communities.
Okay.
And so this is part of positive money's thing. If you can just change that balance between the banks making the money and then get the Bank of England making the money, and if people knew that last year they said there was quantitative easing of £70 billion, doesn't mean anything to anybody. Mm-hmm. But if they said the Bank of England, which we own, mm-hmm. has created £70 billion and we're going to give it to rich people, basically,
yeah.
People would be interested. If they knew that money was going to government, mm-hmm. the government would have to think about what they did with it. And this is about democracy, and so Positive Money is very keen about opening up all these things.
If people
know about it, then they can have a view about it. If they don't know about it, they can't influence their politicians or anybody to do anything about it.
Okay, I suppose in a way you can say this is a way of empowering the people to make a difference in the financial economy as such. I'm going to wrap up with today's budget.
seen much of it.
Nor me.
Okay, well, one of the things, I mean, we've been talking a bit about it ourselves, but growth forecast for 2017 has been downgraded from 2% to 1.5%. GDP has been downgraded to 1.4%, and then subsequent years it's gone down to 1.3 and then 1.5 and then 1.6 by 2022. Productivity growth and business investment has also been revised down, yet we have all the money there.
Yes, it's all there. It's just the people who decide where it goes, which are the banks, just don't have our interests at heart for some reason. I don't know. Well, that might be.
And profit, perhaps.
It actually says that debt will peak at 86.5% of GDP this year, and it will only fall by 0.1% next year, and then 0.3% in subsequent years.
Yeah, they can't afford debt to fall too much. They want it, don't want it to go up, because people are in terrible straits, mm-hmm. and it's usury, and people are getting money being dragged out of society. But if the money, if the loans, all the debt reduces, then unless some money, other money, gets put into the economy and to replace it, then the GDP certainly won't rise, or the laws fall apart.
Okay.
So again, it's the banks and that we need to control our own money supply, not have banks controlling it. That's the thing. Let's make it democratic. Let's take control of our money.
Okay. A last word from yourself, Phil.
Let's just take note of things. Try and listen to positive money. You're trying to get people stop money being so difficult to understand, to try and get those people to be more open about what they're doing. We want the Bank of England to be open about what it's thinking, what it's doing, because if you knew they were creating money, that's, you don't have to be a genius to know that money could be useful in the community. You don't have to be an accountant or anything clever. If they keep it quiet, you don't know. If you know, so let's people learn a little bit more about economics, but you don't have to know much.
Charlie.
Okay, well, I understand that these subjects are quite, they're big and difficult. It can be quite overwhelming, and you wonder what you can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say that I think that the things we've been talking about, it's the big news. I think it's behind a lot of the troubles that normal people are facing.
Uh-huh.
For example, after the financial crash,
uh-huh.
everyone was rightly furious with the banks. But it was, at that time, it was difficult to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I feel that after that, people started to look around for easy solutions. It was difficult to attack the banks, so people started to attack people from different communities who look different, people who are easy to attack.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, we shouldn't be distracted by all of this sort of nationalistic nonsense. And it's very important that we get to see the big picture,
mm-hmm.
and together we organise and sort it out. I certainly plan to sort out the banks.
Certainly.
Okay. Well, if you're holding a pound coin in your hand right now, give it a toss. And if you want to make heads or tails of all of this, you need to come to see the screening, The Spider's Web, which is on Wednesday next week, the 29th of November at 7:30 at the Jane Austen Theatre, which is inside the Spark Building in Southampton. And it will be followed with a Q&A from the filmmakers. And you're going to be there, Charlie?
Yes, I am.
And Phil?
Yeah.
Yeah, and we'll be there too. And thank you both very much for coming in today and giving us insight into what is a very complicated procedure.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you.
You're tuned in to Awaaz FM Community Radio, broadcasting to you on DAB Digital across South Hampshire and across the globe on Awaaz FM Community, awaazfm.co.uk. See, all this is complicated. We tend to forget who we are as well. Thank you once again to my guest, and stay tuned.